If you think of some of the legends who played for the North Carolina Tar Heels, Ty Lawson has to come up in conversation. He played for them from 2006 to 2009, led them to an NCAA championship in 2009, and is considered one of the greatest point guards in Tar Heels history. I'm Mikey Domagala, and I'm very excited to have Ty Lawson on episode 47 of Inside Buzz. He was drafted 18th overall in 2009 by Minnesota and was traded to Denver on draft night, where he played seven terrific years, including averaging 16-plus points per game and 7-plus assists per game in 4 years of his prime. In 2012-2013, Lawson led Denver to a franchise-best 57-25, third in the West. Yes, that's actually better than Jokic and Murray's Denver Nuggets in 2022-2023. He bounced around the NBA after Denver, playing for Houston, Indiana, Sacramento, and Washington, and played multiple seasons overseas, including this year in Venezuela. Lawson just recently launched a new app called Lotta Wins, a new age sweepstakes and giveaway app that we'll talk about in the interview, among many other topics. Ty, welcome to episode 47 of Inside Buzz. It's a pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to be here, man. I'm a big fan of your page and excited to be here.
So let's start with a current topic. Your Denver Nuggets, where you spent 7 or so years in the NBA Finals, just took game one against the Miami Heat. Are they going to win the series? And if you think they are, how many games are they going to take it in?
Man, I think it's going to be a good series. You know, Miami's a tough team, but it's the Denver Nuggets, man. They came to the Mile High. You're a mile high above seawater. So, I mean, it's tough to win in there, you know, especially with Jokic playing like that, playing like the MVP. And then also, you know, Jamal Murray, he's playing out of his mind. I just like his game so much because you don't know what he's going to do. He might drive down, spin back, hit the fade, come down, hit the three. I mean, his game is so unpredictable that it's hard to put a defense against it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Nuggets at five, man. We're getting them out of here. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be done. Try and go to the game, you know, on the fifth game if it gets that far. But I want to be in the building. I'm going to be there for game five or game seven. Hopefully, don't go that far, though.
People are still showing you love, showing up in the Ty Lawson jersey, and they're tagging you. How does it feel to still be a part of the culture?
It feels good. You know, like I said, I spent 6-7 years. I mean, that was my first home in the NBA. So I have a lot of memory, good memories from, you know, playing with the Nuggets. And a bunch of my friends was going to the game. I was trying to go to the first game, but plans didn't work out right. But they were just sending me pictures of all the jerseys that was in the crowd. And it actually made me feel good that, you know, even when I did out there, people still represent me and still, like, show love like that. Like, always salute to Denver Nuggets.
And we'll get into all of that, of course. Now, Ty, do you think Nikola Jokic should have won his third straight MVP?
I think so. He was in the race. I mean, 1-2, but you know how the NBA is. They want to, you know, switch it up a little bit sometimes. Like LeBron, he could have won probably like 6 of them so far, but you know how that thing is. But he's playing an MVP level. I mean, he's destroying the playoffs. I never heard of a player, you know, averaging a triple-double in the whole playoffs. Like, that's unheard of. So, you know, shout out to Nikola.
Another debate that's been going on in NBA circles, Carmelo Anthony, number 15. He just retired. Nuggets great. Of course, Nikola Jokic, number 15 as well. That kind of sucks for Melo. But how do you think the Nuggets should go about it? Should they retire both numbers? Should they retire one?
I think they should retire both, to be honest. Because, you know, before Melo got there, it was a losing team. You know, they weren't winning too many games. I mean, in a short stretch before he got there. It wasn't the whole time they were a losing team. But, you know, he came there and changed the culture. That year he got there, he got to the playoffs. You know, he changed the culture for a long time. So I think they should definitely retire both jerseys. I mean, that's two great players in 15.
You mentioned Jamal Murray before. This is nothing to take away from Jamal Murray. But what does prime Ty Lawson and prime Nikola Jokic do together?
It could have been interesting. I was actually there. I did not know he got drafted when I was there at all. Like, I had no idea. When people said, like, the next year, I was like, where did he come from? It's like, oh, he was drafted while he was there. I had no idea, but it would have been a good pick and roll because he sets the pick and roll. You know, I like to throw the pocket pass, so he has that little floating, still make the great decisions that he does. So it probably would have been fun playing with a big man like that.
You led the Nuggets in 2012-13 to 57 wins. That's a franchise record. Now, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, that's better than what the Denver Nuggets had this year. So what made that team so special? Because that team was loaded with talent. Andre Iguodala, Kenneth Faried, yourself, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, JaVale McGee. I mean, the list goes on and on. What made that team so special?
I think it's just that we were just so young, you know, and just hungry. And at the same time, I think that we were just so deep. You know, it wasn't no like people with ulterior motives or, you know, head cases or anything like that. We always just trying to win at any cost. And then Andre Iguodala, he came in. I mean, at first, I didn't know too much. I knew Iguodala, but he's just such a mind. Like, he, like, brought us all together with leadership. And then also, you know, with the fast break, he loved to get out and run. And I think he's just brought us all together because what he did for us, you know, switching pick and rolls was amazing for us. Kenneth came in, gave us energy every night. You know, everybody played their role to the fullest. And I think that's why we had so many, you know, wins that year.
Your Denver team, you said how young you were. Then you face off against the young Golden State Warriors in that first round. You guys unfortunately fall 4-2. But like I said, young Stephen Curry, young Klay Thompson, what do you remember from that matchup with Steph? You guys both averaged 20-plus, you in like the 20 points, 9 assist range, excellent series. What do you remember from Steph that series?
We were just going at it. You know, like, that's when Steph became Steph. He was shooting deep, his quick release. Like, it was just tough. Like, at one point, we was guarding him at half court. Like, once you come across half court, you're on him. He just moves off the ball. Like, you can't – like, when he passes it, a lot of people just, like, relax. You know what I'm saying? But when he passes it, he goes off another screen, keep running, and shots so quick. So, I mean, it was a good series. It was fun. I mean, he was going back and forth. I wish Danilo Gallinari didn't tear his ACL before. I think it was 2 games before the playoffs started. That hurt us a lot. But, I mean, that was a great, fun series. And Klay Thompson, I remember one play. He caught the ball, but he caught it like this. Like, it was a bad pass. He shot straight into the three, splashed. I was like, that's the first time I ever seen somebody just catch it off balance and not even bring it back. He just shot like this.
We've seen that many times since. I mean, the two of them becoming two of the greatest three-point shooters ever. Your 2012-13 Nuggets against this year's Nuggets in a seven-game series. Who do you think takes it?
In a seven-game series?
It's a tough one. It's definitely a tough one.
I can't go against ourselves, though. I can't go against the 2012-13 Nuggets. I'm going to say us, but it would be a game seven. It would be all the way to game seven. But it definitely would be a tough, tough matchup. Harden, Jokic, I'm doubling him. I'm getting out of his hands ASAP. As a ball into him, I'm sending somebody to double and just rotate. And we want to live with a corner three from Aaron Gordon. So, I mean, that's how I'll play it, but we're not going to let Jokic just come down and get, you know, 25-14-14. He's not going to touch the ball. We want the ball out of his hands ASAP.
All right. I like that. Now, Ty, explain to me your immediate reaction during the 2009 NBA draft. All right, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they take two point guards already. Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn. They get pick 18, Ty Lawson. What's going through your mind that they already have two point guards and they took you?
I was wondering. I was like, what's going on here? They got three point guards. I was like, obviously somebody's getting traded. You know, they're not going to draft three point guards in, you know, the first 18 picks. That'd be crazy. So I guess later I'm looking around and my agent comes to me. He's like, yeah, you're going to Denver Nuggets. I'm looking like, I didn't even work out for the Denver Nuggets that year. You know what I'm saying? To going to the draft. So I was just so curious. And then George Karl called me and was like, yeah, man, we want you at the backup point guard. We're excited for you. We want to play up and down. We want to play fast. And I see you play fast. So I was excited. The wild thing, though, before that, the 11th pick, I think Indiana had the 11th pick. So as it's coming up, I'm like, all right, I'm thinking I'm going, they need a point guard. They start with like Todd, they go like that. So all my family gets up. I'm like, Todd, Lur Hansborough. I'm like, oh. And then, yeah, the whole crowd was like, oh. Then I came to 18, so I was like happy that I got picked at 18.
Is the 2009 NBA draft class the most underrated of all time? I'm going to list some names here just for the audience. Yourself, Stephen Curry, Blake Griffin, Harden, Tyreek Evans, Rubio, DeRozan, Brandon Jennings, Hansbrough, Drew Holiday, Taj Gibson, Danny Green, so many others. Is that extremely underrated or is it just me?
I think it's a little underrated. I mean, we have a couple of Hall of Famers that's out of our draft class with Steph Curry, James, DeMar DeRozan might get in there. You know, Drew Holiday's playing well. He got a championship. And I think, you know, it's a little underrated compared to, you know, people just talking about it. Nobody ever brings us up, but we got three Hall of Famers out of the class. So, I mean, I can stack us up with a lot of other draft classes that have came before us and will come after us.
And what about playing with Carmelo Anthony? I believe in your rookie year, you had a full year with him and then a half a season before he was traded to New York. What did you learn from Melo?
Melo, he was one of my idols growing up. You know what I'm saying? He's from Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? His game is smooth. He went to Syracuse and won his championship his first year. And then I used to watch the Denver Nuggets while I was in college the whole time because he was there. So, I mean, it was fun just actually being around and get to see him as a person and just see how hard he works. I mean, he'd be in there, like, after practice, during practice, he's talking trash and everything like that, going hard. So, I mean, that was one of the greatest mentors that I had playing, you know, basketball, period.
Melo, of course, just announcing his retirement a couple weeks ago. Do you think he still could have played in the NBA?
Of course. I mean, Melo, he's a three-point. If you can shoot, you can play in the NBA. I mean, he was a knockdown shooter. I think his last year, where he shot around close to 40%. So, I mean, I think he should have had one more shot or, you know, actually went out on his own terms, you know, as in, you know, playing the year, then retiring or has a little celebratory year. But, yeah, I feel like he could play one more year for sure.
And how about coming in, you know, the Denver Nuggets, Chauncey Billups starting point guard, and then you pick up the reins when he leaves. What did you learn from Chauncey that year?
Chauncey taught me how to think the game, you know, the game inside the game. Like, you know, at that point, I was just young, just trying to go fast, like Ricky Bobby, man. I'm trying to get in there. But he told me how, like, to slow down, read the pick and roll, like, see where the other defenders are helping from. Like, you know, Chauncey's a brain. He overthinks the game, you know, gets his shots, get to his spots. And that's what he taught me to do in my first year, just working with him and just picking up all the knowledge I could.
Underrated draft classes. What about underrated players? Andre Miller literally fits that bill. You look up underrated in the dictionary, that's him. A 12th all-time in assists. Really underrated guy. What did you learn from him as well? I'm asking, you know, what you learned from all these guys.
I think it's passing ability, because I just see him, people come in practice, like, he's playing at his own pace. Like, literally, that's one person. If a person plays at his own pace, that's him. Because he will come down, just take his time. He'll do, like, one dribble, fast spin, get to a spot, bump, then shoot it. And he didn't have, like, you know, the shot, the ordinary shot. Like, his shot was like, So I was just seeing how he got it off and, like, how he made his passes. I'll always pick his brain and talk to him about, you know, how'd you do this and how'd you do that.
And then there's that career high night, 37 points on an NBA record, 10 consecutive three-pointers. Nobody in NBA history has ever done that. Did it feel like you were throwing a beach ball in the ocean that night?
Man, you see my last shot, the last three I made? I threw it to somebody, came off. I'm like, what, 4 feet behind the three-point line? And I'm launching on the fade. Yeah, I thought everything was going in. The basket looked like the ocean. I mean, I was going crazy. I was mad at Coach Carl, though, because he ain't let me keep going. I wanted to keep going after that.
Well, in a blowout, it's like, how much more damage could be done? So I get that, I guess. 16 points per game, 7 plus assists per game in 4 straight season in Denver. Do you think the art of being a pure point guard is kind of lost in the NBA today?
Yeah. I think it's gone. If you're a pure point guard, you got to be taller. You can't be 6 foot. You got to be around like 6'5", 6'6", be able to switch screens and not really be a defensive liability. Because right now, the shorter guards becoming extinct. You don't see really too many 5'11", 6 foot getting drafted and actually playing, because now every team's trying to look at that switch. So who's the guy we can get the mismatch on? And they're going straight at that. So I think, yeah, the lost art of, you know, small guards and just pure point guards, it's getting rough out here, man.
Well, that's a good point. First two names that just popped in my head, Isaiah Thomas and Kemba Walker. I mean, they dominated the league in, like, 2017-18. Here we are 4 or 5 years later, extinct, like you said.
Yes, it's tough. Like, even, like, you know, coming up now, like, in the last couple of drafts, have you seen any, like, short guards being picked?
I haven't. I really haven't.
Maybe second round, but still, you're on an uphill battle, so it's tough right now.
I mentioned Kostas Koufos earlier. You know, he was on Inside Buzz probably about a year ago, and he spoke very highly of you, and he told me the fastest players he's ever seen in the NBA, Ty Lawson and De'Aaron Fox. What do you think about that?
I was pretty fast back then. De'Aaron Fox, did I play against him? No, I don't think I got a chance to play against him. But everybody says he's pretty fast, and on TV, I mean, he do look pretty fast, but yeah, Kostas is my guy. He's been my guy ever since Denver, man. He's one of the most quirkiest, like, good personality, funny personality, different personality that I've met. So, yeah, that's my guy.
He's a good dude. He came on twice in the past and two great conversations. Let's switch it over to your UNC days. What's it like being immortalized as one of the greatest point guards in school history and, of course, that NCAA title?
It's huge. You know, when you go to Carolina, that's what one of the things you dream of, to be one of the, be the best player you can be and also win a championship. And I feel like I accomplished both being there. You know, everybody's, I've always seen on Twitter or Instagram when they rank in the top five, not top 10 players or top best point guards from there. And my name being mentioned means a lot to me. So actually, I'm going to Carolina. I'm coming back to Carolina June 17th. I'm going to go down there and do a little trip and everything like that. But I mean, Tar Heel Blue runs deep, and I love it.
And how can I not ask about Roy Williams? I mean, he's a legend. George Karl, also a legend. Talk to me about their coaching styles and how they're similar or different.
I think they're totally different. You know, Coach Williams, he's going to tell you exactly what he wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to get after you if you don't do it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to make sure you're on the same page with everybody. And I feel like Coach Karl, it's like he's trying to motivate you in a different way. He might come talk trash to you to get you, like, you know, get you going. Like me, that gets me going. You know what I'm saying? That gets me, like, wanting to go a little bit harder or just prove somebody wrong. And he plays more of a psychological game. And I think both coaches, they got the best out of me while I was there or while they was coaching.
Is there a story you remember about George Karl kind of talking some smack to you in your ear and then you go off for 20 points in a quarter or something like that?
He would just come through and say something like, oh, yeah, we're going up against Russell Westbrook today. I'm pretty sure he can guard you. He'd say some stuff like that, or you can't stay in front of him. So he'd just say that about every little guard every day. But it'd be sly. He would be walking by you and just say, you'd be like, yo, did you just say that? type stuff. So, it's a little stuff. He knows how to get people going. He definitely did.
And it worked, for sure. Your teammates, Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley in high school. Who was better at the time?
I think it was KD. You know, I was playing with DC Blue Devils in high school, but he was 6'9", man. Like, coming down just shooting threes. Like, it was unheard of. You've seen T-Mac do it. But he was doing it just so effortlessly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a big guard. And I think low-key, he wasn't 6'9". He was still like 6'11". So he's at the height he is now. He's not just 6'9". But he had the handles, too. Like, he's just playing like a big guard. Nobody could guard him.
And how about Bees? I feel like he's extremely skilled himself. Didn't he panned out in the NBA, but not as expected. I remember reading a story when he was on the Heat. One of the reporters said he used to get the best of LeBron James in practice. Is he really that skilled?
I mean, Mike Beasley, he was a grown man. It was at 18. Like, he had muscles. Like, if you look at his hands like twice the size of mine. You know what I'm saying? And he's also ambidextrous. So, like, he can go with his right and go with his left. He can shoot, back you down. Like, he just had a totally different – he had a grown man's game at age 16. So, I can believe he was giving LeBron all he needed when he was in Miami. Whenever he wants to. When he puts his mind to it, I know he can go at anybody. Even right now. You see him in the big three and, like, overseas. Like, he still got it.
So why do you think he got that bad rap in the NBA? And do you think he could still play today? You kind of mentioned it. He's only 34 years old.
Yeah, I think he's just misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? Once you understand Mike as a person – then you will understand him. Like, if you just listen to what goes on, like, in media blogs and, you know, word of mouth, of course you're going to have a bad stigma. But I think he can still play in the league. Like, if you look at his Instagram, he's still in shape. He's still going at, you know, people. He's good. So I feel like if he ever gets a chance, he can still show people he can still play.
And another guy who fits just right into that build, DeMarcus Cousins. He's another misunderstood guy, another former teammate of yours. Should he still be in the NBA?
Oh, man, you see what he's doing in Puerto Rico? Yeah, they're going crazy. Having 31, 15 hitting game winners, moving like he did in Sacramento. Of course, DeMarcus can still play in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, the game is meant for him. I mean, he can shoot the three. He can post up. He makes good decisions. He can pass the ball. You know what I'm saying? Just on the defense end, just get a little more aggressive. But I feel like DeMarcus still would be in the league right now.
And we all know about the Ja Morant situation. It seems like a big suspension is pending by the NBA until the finals are over. You know, flash the gun the first time, a little bit of a slap of a wrist with a small suspension, then he does it again. Ty, you know, you've had your share of experiences, your mistakes in your basketball career. What's your advice for Ja Morant?
For me, I learned, you know, the hard way, just like he's about to learn. My thing is just stay in the gym, you know, make your circle a little smaller. I mean, like, yeah, we're both basketball players. Like, back then, I didn't really realize that at the time. But, I mean, just stay out of trouble. You can have your fun on the side. But just stay out of trouble and just do your thing, you know. I mean, I'm praying for him. I know he's going to get through it. Like, I was young and dumb too. So I already know, I can kind of tell what he's going through, you know, from social media, people hitting him, all the jokes and stuff like that. But it's going to pass over. You start hooping it again, you come out, get 30, everybody's going to not remember that, don't let it go. But right now, it's going to be tough. Just stay through, stay strong, you'll be all right.
And how did you deal with just getting in the NBA, getting that huge check? Some friends you were friends with, maybe, you know, you want to cut out a little bit. Go through that experience of becoming Ty Lawson and getting huge money.
It's a whirlwind. Like, it hits you right. I mean, you come from not having nothing. So all of a sudden, you get 250 or something, 300,000 every 2 weeks. I know his checks is way bigger than mine, but that's still crazy. Like, I mean, sometimes when you got your head leveled, I mean, you can go a little insane, especially like you're so young. Imagine you 20, 21 years old. You getting paid like that? I mean, it's going to be a little wildness in there, but you got to stay level-headed, which I wish I would have done, like, with the friends, family, you know what I'm saying? Maybe just, I wish I would move my family into Denver, like my mom and dad, had them stay with me. They keep me level-headed always, instead of having, like, you know, a bunch of other 21, 22-year-olds, and we all just doing crazy stuff. You feel me? Like, I would definitely have changed that 100%.
All right, that's good advice for sure, for Ja, I'm sure. Who was the toughest player you had to guard in your career?
The toughest, that one would be probably Russell Westbrook. He's aggressive the whole game. Like, he's coming down trying to get dirty. He's going to run through you. You already know, you try to take a charge, you might get a knee to the thigh, you're getting hit with elbows, all type of stuff. So you low-key kind of, you know what I mean, you bracing for that. You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry, Steph wasn't that bad because he was coming off pick and rolls. So it wasn't really my job to guard him. It would be the big, you know what I'm saying, to be up or not let him get around. I just had to make sure he didn't reject. So Steph wasn't that bad. You know, Russell Westbrook, he was probably the one that I'd be like, damn, I got to get ready for this one.
So with Steph, it's probably a lot of just chasing, avoiding screens, trying to get a hand up all over the place.
Yeah, it's a little – I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? More we got to, like, you know, 2016, 2017, he was getting faster, like, pass come off, and they was all, like, playing in unison with Draymond – throwing it between his legs or dropping it off like that. Those are tough, but I don't think I was guarding him back then. But, yeah, come off the screens and stuff, all you got to do is be on his hip and just make sure he just can't get it off. But it was mostly on the bigs to guard him on those.
Gotcha. And, Ty, who are your top five players under 6 foot in NBA history? You could put yourself in there or leave yourself off if you'd like.
Isaiah Thomas from Boston. I'm going to put Spud Webb in there. Got to, dunk contest. Nate Robinson, put him in there. He's my guy. Me. And who else is under 6 foot? I'll say Muggsy Bogues.
So you're coming off a couple seasons overseas. You're just playing in Venezuela. You're 35. You're not that old. Do you think you could play in the NBA today if a team came knocking?
I think so. I'm staying in pretty much good shape, you know. And if everybody look at my Instagram, I hoop every day. And I'm trying to get ready for, you know, get the six pack right and all that. So I think I definitely can play in the NBA if I do get a chance. And I mean, I don't think I'm too old. I don't think I slowed down. I haven't slowed down too much. So I think I still get in the paint and play the type of game that they are. Because everybody's trying to get in the paint, get advantage to kick out, or one-on-one. So, and that's my game. So maybe one day if they come knocking, I'll show everybody.
Your last season in the NBA, 2018. All right, that's not that long ago, but the NBA has changed since then. When you watch it, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about the three-pointers? You know, not locked in on defense all the time, but now we see Denver, who's great at threes and always locked in on defense, and it's almost like they're shaking up the game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the game has changed. It's more of a for the fan experience, I think. It's way more fun now. Like, everybody's launching threes, coming down one-on-one. It's more highlight plays. You know, back then, our scores were – getting up there to like 100-something, but it wasn't like every night. You know, some games were slow. It'd be like 80 to 89. And the fans don't want to see that. They want to see buckets. You feel me? So, I mean, that's how it's become. So, it's a lot of one-on-one or getting the paint or get threes. You know, the new rule when the Golden State tried to make, you know, it's better to shoot, you know, was it 33% from three than 50% from two? You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, you know. Same, you get the same amount of points about.
Yeah,
so, I mean, yeah, so I think it's a good product. You know, as you can tell, the contracts are going up. The fans love it. So I actually like it. I like it. It's fun. Even though, like, some players say, oh, it's no defense, no da-da-da, but it's a fun game right now.
Lastly, Ty, let's talk about your new app, your sweepstakes giveaway app called Lotto Wins. Tell me about that, and tell me how my audience could enter.
Okay. My app is called Lotto Wins, as you said. And basically, all you got to do is watch a 30-second ad, maybe do a survey to get a chance to win up to $2 million, maybe a trip to Greece, some shoes. It's whatever I think of. And that's where I'm sitting at. I'm in my office right now. There's a green screen. And that's how we're going to pick the numbers and everything like that. We're going to probably launch at the end of this month on iOS. And then we're going to come on Android next month for the real, real launch. And I mean, that's basically it. Just watch a 30-second ad. We're not taking no money. We don't want your money. It's all free. Everything's free. And hopefully we can do something with Inside Buzz. You know, we've been having conversations about it, but I'm trying to see if I can give your community a chance to win $50,000 and up. So it's going to start at $50,000, and I guess Inside Buzz and me, we're going to let you know when you get a chance to start winning this bread.
Exactly, guys. You know, me and Ty will make an announcement soon exactly how to enter everything, exactly the steps that need to be done to win that money. I'm excited to do that. When, you know, I reached out to Ty, he told me about that opportunity, and here we are talking about it. So stay tuned for that, for sure. Anything you want to add about that, Ty?
Yeah, stay tuned, because I'll be giving away $50,000 and maybe some other side gifts, maybe a trip to Greece, or, you know, maybe just do a random contest where you guys show me an object in your house, send it to my Instagram, and I would just, you know, Cash App you the money, PayPal, whatever it is. But anything goes. I'm gonna keep you locked in, and then we'll have you updated soon.
All right, Ty, I appreciate you coming on episode 47 of Inside Buzz. Pleasure to have you. Everybody, make sure to follow him on Instagram at TyLawson3 to be locked in on that giveaway. And of course, download the Lotto Wins app on the App Store. Ty, it's a pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you for inviting me. And y'all have a good day. Inside Buzz. I love y'all.